Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. We all have a destiny waiting to be fulfilled. In Floyd R. Oliver's captivating novel, The Power of Love, you'll meet Rafe Hawkins, a young Brooklyn boy who's about to embark on a world-changing journey to find his with an unexpected ending. After his mom drops off 6-year-old Rafe at Greer School, a community for children, he realizes he's been abandoned, and his only mission becomes finding his way back home. Rafe attempts to adjust to his new life, only finding it impossible with a certain counselor who is determined to stand in his way of freedom. Join Rafe on his journey in Prisoner in Paradise and discover how he rises above the challenges despite the obstacles he faces. And Floyd R. Oliver, author of Power of Love, is our guest on This Week in America. Floyd, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Hello, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've done a wonderful job with this on so many different levels, so many different themes that we'll talk about during the course of the conversation today. What inspired you to explore the themes of destiny, struggle, and growth, and the power of love? And how did you develop the character Rafe?
Well, the reason I wrote the book to begin with was because of the day my mother brought me to Greer School, a children's community. The way she dropped me off, she didn't say goodbye. She didn't tell me anything. She just disappeared. So I thought I was abandoned. And that one act is what led to this book, because what happens is amazing. So what happened was I developed a rebellious and defiant attitude towards being in the school. And 3 weeks after being there, I ran away for the first time, but I was 85 miles from New York. Pretty impossible for a 6-year-old to make it, but at the point, I didn't care. So I took off, got caught after I went about 400 yards. And then the assistant director of the school, Mrs. Fink, had to straighten me out, because the school was in a remote area, couldn't have little kids running away. So she took me on a walk out the gate of the school. It was getting dark. I was supposed to be afraid of the dark. And then finally, she would go 100 yards outside the school gate. She says, "All right, you want to leave? You're free to go."
Wow.
I was supposed to cower at the dark, but I didn't. Took off Crest Road, jumped the ditch, started up an embankment. Mrs. Fink caught me as quick as a cat, pulled me back on the road, bent me over her knee, started spanking me. And I'm thinking, what is she spanking me for? She said I could go. Yeah,
yes.
So then she had to explain to me why I was in Greer School, which she did. And once I understood the circumstances, I realized I wasn't really abandoned, but I was going to be there for a long time. And I eventually adjusted. I knew what was going on. And school was an incredible, beautiful place like the Garden of Eden. But the next summer, we went to camp on a campsite in a valley behind the school's main campus, beautiful place. And one day we're playing, the little kids, 6, 7 years old, are playing on a wooded hilltop with a clearing, playing in little pup tents. At the end of the play period, the two girl counselors, who are about 19, tell us we're going to lunch, then we're going to take a nap for an hour, after which we can come back after swimming at 3 o'clock. We can come back on the hill and play if we want. But under no circumstances are we to go on the hill till after swimming at 3 o'clock. So while I'm taking my nap in my cabin, I'm thinking, what's the big deal about the hill? I'm going to go up there and find out. Worst mistake of my life.
Wow.
So I go up there and go down the line of tents looking for something unusual. And when I get to the last tent, I find it. The two girl counselors didn't want us up on the hill because they were going to have a little lesbian liaison in the forest. Oh, and I walked right up on them, and that was their worst case scenario. Now someone knew their secret. The unfortunate part was both girls were connected to the administration. One was the daughter of one of the teachers, and one of them was born there, raised there, graduated from the school, and her mother was one of the founders. So my dilemma, oh, they try to kill me right on the spot. The big one, the one that was born at the school, has me pinned on the ground, strangling me to death. It's worse than you think. They can think of things you will never think of because it'll never enter your mind. So I knew I was dealing with evil, but in the end, I escaped death 3 different attempts in 3 days. But I finally backed the person off by telling them I'm going to tell their secret to everybody in the school. And they don't know that I don't even know what they're doing. I didn't know what sex was. I only know they were trying to kill me for whatever I saw. So then after the second day of that, I run for New York. This time I get 10 miles before the state police catch me going down Route 82. So I'm brought back. This leads to a third attempt to kill me, but I again escape. In the end, I back her off by telling her I'm going to tell everyone what I saw. So she's afraid. This is her home territory. The word gets out that this is 1950, not today. This could ruin your reputation. So she backs off. The end of the camp period, I go back to school, and I don't see her again for 5 years. 5 years later, just by chance, could be divine providence, she comes back, and she's going to run the dormitory I live in. She's gotten married. She wasn't a lesbian. And she married a big ex-Marine who turned out to be her enforcer. But when she comes back as the person controlling my house, the war starts. She hates my guts, wants to kill me, but really can't. So then eventually the boys in the house call the reign of terror begins. This is a real sick, evil person. Now, if you haven't met one, you don't know what I'm talking about. Most people we meet are bad, but evil goes beyond that. They're capable of anything. So the war starts. I eventually go to the administration, tell them you got to get rid of these people. The school will be destroyed. It's like cancer growing. If you don't excise it, it destroys the host. So they have an investigation. She's an insider. She wins by one vote. Then the war began, and she did something that us boys, like, that we were going to witness evil that we could not even imagine because we never entered our mind that it could happen. She shoots our dog.
Oh.
The one beloved thing. We had no home. We had no parents, but we had Max, our dog. So she shot him. So that was, as far as I was concerned, that was an act of war, pure evil. And if we let her get away with that, what was next? One of us?
Exactly.
Max was one of us. So the only way out, revolution. I was going to kill her, but I figured if I did, I'd destroy myself along with her.
Yes.
And so I decided the only way is revolution. And the story, the first chapter in the book is very depressing, but the next chapter leads to glory. So that's how life is. I'm big into horse racing. That's the end of the book. But horse racing, in a race, it doesn't matter where you start. It only determines what matters where you finish. So I get out of Greer School by starting a revolution, leave in disgrace, go home to New York, and my mother's boyfriend, how she ever got him, I don't know, but he was the greatest man I ever knew. Talk about a surrogate father.
Yes.
He was like a real father to me, sent me to Rhodes School, the top private school in New York City, on one condition. I had to be the number one student. He said, you have a problem in perception. He said, perception is reality, and you're perceived to be bad even by your own mother. He says, I don't think you are, so I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself by going to the top school and showing what you can do. So I went to Rhodes School. At the time, I was 5 feet tall, weighed 100 pounds. 14 months later, I was 6 feet tall, and I'm the number one student in Rhodes School. And then the miracle comes. You stood against evil by yourself almost until all the boys joined you. But now I'm in road school and I have not a problem in the world. And then the miracle. On the third day of my senior year, the principal calls me into his office, congratulates me on my academic turnaround, and says, because of that, we'd like you to do the school a favor. And I said, what's the favor? He said, we have a young lady coming to the school from Great Britain who's missed a year and a half of schooling. She's way behind in math and science and has asked for student tutor. Would you be willing to be the tutor? So I figured, Everett said I had to change my perception. Perception of me? I said, what better way? I'll tutor. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I asked the principal, why did she miss a year and a half of school? That's a long time for a young person. Did she have an illness or an accident? And he said, no, she's been making a motion picture. I'm laughing like, no, this cannot be true. And then I said, what motion picture did she make? And he says, Exodus, 1960. That was the number one film.
Yes.
I had seen it twice. So I knew the cast. So I'm going through the cast in my head thinking, who is this? And then I realize there's only one young lady of school age in that movie. And I said, you don't mean that beautiful blonde that plays Karen in the movie. He says, yes, Jill Hayworth is your pupil for the next 9 months. On the way home on the subway to the suburbs, up till this point in life, I thought God hated me. And then the thought struck my mind, God loves me. And did he ever? My first date in life was with Jill. That's how the story starts. You go from the pits to heaven in one mighty leap.
Boy, that is an amazing story.
The story gets interesting. So here's the thing with the book. The first part of the book is, the theme is, the only thing it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. It's a quote from an English politician, famous quote. It's true, absolutely true. That's how Hitler came into power on a national scale, but it happens on small scales, even in families, in schools. And if no one does anything against evil, it takes over because they have no qualms. They answer to no higher power. They think they're the power. The middle of the book, the theme is, what matters most is how you see yourself. And the third theme, the end of the book, is where love is, there God is also. So that's how the book starts. And it's kind of in the end of the book, second half of the book is about thoroughbred horse racing. I'm an expert in the genealogy of thoroughbred female horses. And in the book, chapter 15 is a mare called Tar Baby. And Tar Baby is the prototype of what I call a cluster mare. There have only been 200 in the history of the breed in 375 years. If you ever get a cluster mare, your life is made. You can make $1 billion and you'll win a whole slew of classic races like the Derby and races, the Breeders' Cup. I know how to breed a cluster mare. So in chapter 15 tells the horse world how to breed a cluster mare. And if you ever get one, they're almost impossible to find. They're so rare. They're easy to breed if you know how to do it. So Tar Baby is the prototype of a cluster mare. Now, I have a website called Broodmares Incorporated. And on it, there's a series of articles called Water Cluster Mares. And then I show what they are, what they can do, and how to breed your own. It's relatively easy if, first of all, you know they exist, know the pattern that produces them, then you can replicate it. And if you succeed, you can make $1 billion and win numerous classic races. And if you're a horse person, your dreams will come true. Now, why am I giving this valuable information out? I'm 83 years old, won't be around much longer. I want to give a gift of love to racing. Racing made my life. And Tar Baby, the mare, is a prototype. She's an example of a mayor, because when you're writing, you don't just think all this stuff out of the clear blue.
Yes.
So how did Tar Baby get to be what she is? Tar Baby in the book is small, ugly, and as mean as a snake. She's the equine bitch from hell. That was, in real life, my first horse, Oluru. That's how she was. How did I win her over? I loved her. She was the greatest thing in the world to me. I babied her, fed her mints, apples, carrots, fly to Kentucky when she was there to be bred, just to see her for the day. And Oluru, who hated the world, eventually became to love me. I was the only one who loved her. And then she produces my dream horse. First foal she produces for me made my life. So love is a very powerful force in the world. Probably the most powerful, because God shows himself in the world through love. That is the basic theme of the book. And I think part of the book is absolutely true. Part of it is made up. It's fantasy. And part of it is a mix of both put together. That's what writers do. They have literary license. This book was not published by a regular publisher. It's published by Durance, a vanity publisher, because I felt a regular publisher would never publish it. They would not want you to read what I'm going to say. And I did not want the book edited that way. I wanted the book to be published the way I wrote it, because I wrote it for a purpose. And I think most people, even if they're not horse people, will love the book. And one of the questions I asked one of the characters in the book, a young lady who just got fired, she's an exercise rider at Belmont Racetrack, her life is in ruins, and the central character walks up and starts talking to her. She's sitting on a bale of hay crying, and he said, "What's the matter?" She tells him, and he said, "Have you ever heard the expression, it's darkest just before dawn?" And she looks at him and says, "Yes, but I don't know whether I believe it or not." And a minute later, he offers her the job that is going to make her life. She's going to ride the greatest racehorse ever produced. And then things change. But if you go back to Rafe's early years, he gets out of Greer's school, ruined. He's blamed for the whole catastrophe up at the school.
Yes.
And what happens? Everett sends him to Rhodes School. He tutors a movie starlet. His first date is with a movie star. And it's a very interesting thing what happens throughout the book. So I think it's a book for everyone, really, because the one thing we all love is love. God is love. Our families should be based on love. We love our children. We love our cats and dogs. In the book, you're going to find out even horses can love you. Love is the thing. If you have love in your life, you're going to find happiness. Think of it. The only thing you'll die for, sacrifice your love for, your life for, is love. So it's about love. It's an interesting story, full of adventure. And there's an article in the book, a chapter in the book called You Know Who. She's real. When I met her, it was like walking onto a movie script, and I couldn't even believe what was happening, but it's a true story. And at the time, I was like suicidal. I did not care about anything, knew no fear of anything. And then this extraordinary event takes place. And that's often how things happen in life. No warning. You walk into a place and the whole world changes. So You Know Who is real, and it's a pretty wild thing that happens. So I would suggest people want a good adventure, read The Power of Love.
Boy, I mean, from the beginning, what you went through and the challenges and the resilience that you obviously, the ingenuity that you had to get from one escapade to another, and then you called it a miracle when you were asked to tutor. That, in fact, was a miracle, and more that that came in your life. It's such a remarkable story. The book is available, of course, wherever books are sold. The book by Floyd R. Oliver, the captivating novel, The Power of Love. So much in there. Now, you've written the other book, a Sire Line Mythology, that you'll find as well. What is the website again where they can go get more information?
Oh, it's Amazon Kindle, but my website is Broodmares Incorporated, and that explains cluster mares. It's very extensive. I have a book in Australia called Breeding by Design. It's much better than Sire Line Mythology, which is next to the book online. But that's the book. If you are a horse breeder, order it from Blue Bloods in Australia. The secret of breeding a great racehorse is in that book, and it shows all the charts, everything you'll need to follow it and produce your own cluster mare. But here's just one thing about how life is. When I went to Rhodes School, remember the second theme in the book is what matters most is how you see yourself. I came out of Greer School pretty beaten down young person, 16 years old, 5 feet tall, weighed 100 pounds. When I left Rhodes School, in the book, you're going to see a picture of a cat looking into a mirror, and the reflection is a great big black maned lion. And the caption is, what matters most is how you see yourself. I came out of Greer School, a pretty much beaten down kid. Came out of Rhodes School, I was the great lion because of circumstance. I dated Jill, we adored each other, and after that, life became very good. But life is life. It has its peaks and valleys.
Yes.
And no matter how bad things seem, they can always get a lot better, and they can get a lot better very quickly.
And it's amazing.
So don't give up hope.
Well, yeah, because you didn't. It's amazing how you persevered, because any one of those escapades, incidents that you mentioned, you could have turned and gone in a different direction. You didn't, and what an amazing life that you've been able to lead. The book is available wherever books are sold, The Power of Love by Floyd R. Oliver, and his website, broodmaresincorporated.com, and we'll have all of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Floyd, so much more we can talk about. Would love to have you back. So many, each individual story that you told there would be worth a half an hour program in talking about what you went through.
Some of the stories I left out of the book are the best stories, but they can't be told because they'll devastate living people, and I won't do that. Also, one other thing I left out. When you read the first chapter, read about Mom Morton. Want to talk about a saintly person? I'm going to Vermont right after Christmas. I'm going to stop at the old Greer School. I'm going to go to Mom Morton's grave. I'll lay a wreath on a grave and thank her for all that she did. She was the only mother I really had, but at the time she had 25 boys together. She was the mother to all of us, and we could have not had a better mother. She wanted us to be good boys. She wanted us to succeed in life, and she showed us the pathway to do it. And that was by choosing what is right over what is bad. And I'm still a Mom Morton boy all these years later. One of the prime reasons I wrote the book is to honor her. She was one of the greatest people I ever knew.
A lot of lessons there, how you can reach out and help people. And you may not be aware at the time how much you're helping. In this case, it guided Floyd through his life. And decades later, she still is at the top of the list of people who helped him get through life and succeed at going through life. The book is so powerful on a number of levels. The Power of Love by Floyd R. Oliver, book available wherever books are sold. And Brood Mares Incorporated is his website. Again, all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Floyd, what a remarkable story, from starting out at 6 years old and thinking you've been abandoned to the successes that you've had in life, including having a chance to tutor a movie star during your senior year in high school. I mean, it's just a remarkable story. Thank you for sharing it with us on the program today.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, a pleasure having you. And I would like to thank King Pages Press. That is Floyd's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves. I thank them for arranging our conversation today. Again, the book, The Power of Love, Floyd R. Oliver, book available wherever books are sold, and information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.